Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that our Lord Jesus really is the light of the world, that he is the one who saves and he brings hope and peace and joy. And Heavenly Father, as we look to your word now, we ask that the light of Christ would shine on us, that he'd shine into our hearts and dispel, Lord, any darkness. And then, Lord, empower us to go out and show that light to others. We ask in his name. Amen. Well, if ever you want to watch something to inspire you or to make you think, let me recommend looking up on YouTube a man called Tommy Edison. Tommy Edison. And he posts on YouTube regularly videos in which he shares what it's like to be blind. Tommy has been blind from birth. I'm guessing he's about 60 now. And in these videos, he tries to answer people's questions about what it's like to be blind. So and he's a lovely, warm guy. So you can watch him reviewing the latest movies by sound only. Or you can watch him when he goes on a roller coaster for the first time. Have you ever wondered what a blind person's dreams are like? Have you ever wondered? Well, according to Tommy, he dreams about smells and sounds and touch. But he doesn't see anything when he's dreaming, because he's never seen anything in his whole life. In one video, he asks people to try to describe colour to him. Can you think about how would you describe colour to someone who's never seen? And one person says, well, red is in your face. It gets your attention. Green is like how a tree leaf feels. Purple is like a deep mystery. He talks about the fact that he has no depth perception. He can never jump because he never knows where he's going to land. Or if you take him up a tall tower, it's exactly the same as being down on the ground. He says he's got no idea what the sky or the horizon is like. He just can't conceive it because he's never seen it. He says about the Grand Canyon, what's the big deal? Just a big hole. In one video, he talks about how when his parents tried to tell him he was blind, there was no big moment, there was no big deal, because he didn't know he was blind. He'd never known anything but being blind. Didn't know he was blind. So how do you begin to explain beautiful things that you can see to someone who's never seen? Well, I want you to think about that this morning, because it might help us understand what the Bible means when it says that we are all spiritually blind. We're all spiritually blind. That's the teaching of the Bible. We're blind to the light of the world. We're blind to the real beauty and glory of God. And we just don't see it. So over the last few weeks, on Sunday mornings, we've been asking the question, what's wrong with the world? Why is the world the way it is? And what we've been looking at is that the Bible's shocking answer is that the problem is us. That attached to each of us, part of each of us, in our flesh, is something the Bible calls a body of death, a body of sin. There's a fallenness to our human nature. We are broken on the inside. And so this sinful thing within us takes control of us and lives through us. And we do all the terrible things that we shouldn't. And we're trying to understand this indwelling sin. And we're trying to, if you like, look at the anatomy of this body of death. How does it work? What's it trying to do in our lives? And because if you're a Christian, probably the biggest struggle you'll ever have is against this body of death, this fallen sinfulness that's within you. So we looked last week at how the Bible says we have a deceitful heart. Our own inner self, our own inner heart is deceived and deceives us. Now, we're not doing this to make ourselves miserable. We're doing this because the only way we'll really understand the cure is if we've really got the right diagnosis of what's wrong. And the real problem is sin. Sin that's within us. And it's only when we really know the depths of that depravity will we really begin to know the wonder of the gospel and of what Jesus Christ does for us. And this matters. If we're on a mission week this week and we want to be sharing the good news of hope in the Lord Jesus and that he saves and he gives new life, we've got to understand why people need a savior and what we're really trying to do. We're not here just to try and help people feel a little bit better about themselves. We're not here, although we want to just help people with practical problems. Ultimately, we're here because we want people to get a new heart. We want people to come to know God. We want them to know this wonderful gift of grace where God radically changes us and transforms us for his glory, and then we live for him. So we got to know what's wrong. And a big part of this fallen nature is the Bible says that we are blind. We have blind eyes. As the prophet Jeremiah says, let me give you some examples. Jeremiah chapter 5, he says about the people in his time, they have eyes, but they do not see. That passage in John 9, you heard about the Lord Jesus. He heals a blind man. Incredible miracle. But then his enemies, the Pharisees, come, and they're finding fault with him. And saying, oh no, you shouldn't have done this. We don't know how he's done this. Who is this Jesus doing these things? And Jesus says to them, you're blind. And because here is God himself before them, healing, saving, doing something wonderful. And they reject him. And he says, you're blind. Or a well-known passage in 2 Corinthians chapters 3 and 4. In that passage there, Paul speaks about the people who have rejected the gospel. Perhaps specifically Jewish people who are turning away from it. And he says it's like there's a veil over their eyes. He says their minds are blinded. The God of this world, the devil, has blinded them. So throughout the Bible and in many other places, you'll find this teaching that we're blind. So what does it really mean that we're blind? Well, it doesn't mean that we're blind to all truth. God in his grace that is around and fills all of life helps us to learn and see much that's true. But it's more of a moral defect in us. We are blind to spiritual things. We're blind to spiritual truth. We're blind to the truth about God, who he is and who we are spiritually. We just don't see it. We don't perceive it. Do you know, it's a bit like from time to time I try to expand my knowledge and I'll pick up some scientific journal or technical book and think, okay, stretch yourself, Matthew. And then as I try to read it and I understand about one word in ten, it's like my mind glazes over. And I haven't understood a thing and I've got to go back and read it again. So I'm reading it and it's right there in front of me, but I'm just not perceiving, I can't get it. And that's the kind of blindness the Bible is saying is we've got spiritually. That the truth about God is right there in front of us and we might hear it or it be told to us, but it's just not getting in. We're not seeing it, it's like there's a fog and we're not perceiving the real truth of it. You could think of it this way, that the Bible speaks about us having spiritual senses. It's a picture, it's an allegory. But it speaks about tasting that God is good, hearing that God is good, smelling even good things. And we have, in a sense, spiritual eyes. A sense that is meant to be able to see spiritual things about God. And the problem is it's broken. It's blind. And that this is our horrible condition in sin. So we could even just share the gospel simply, plainly, clearly, and somebody will look at us and go, what are you talking about? And it'll make no sense at all because of this blindness. Well, more specifically, I think there's perhaps three ways in particular the Bible says that this spiritual blindness works. The first is that we are blind to God's glory, which is all around us in creation. We're blind to his glory all the way around us in creation. If you want to turn with me to Romans chapter 1 and verses 18 to 21. Romans chapter 1 from verse 18. We'll just look at a few verses from there. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So in this passage, Paul's explaining why all of us are sinful, all of us are under God's judgment. And as part of this, he's making an argument, and he's saying, look, God is clearly revealed through creation. And that God has manifested himself and his beauty and his wisdom and his power, and it is all around us, evidently, in creation. He's saying, look up. Look at the depths of space. Look at the order by which the universe sticks together. Look at the beauty that there is in the world. And you can see in all these things the great proof of him as creator and the giver of life. And truly, to look at how wonderful that the created universe is, and to say that it was a random accident that came out of nothing, is completely ridiculous. It makes no sense whatsoever that out of emptiness, there's fullness, out of chaos, there's order, out of nothingness, there's everything. It's ridiculous. And we can look and we can see the great skillful hand of an amazing creator God in all of life. If you think about the glory of a sunset, when it turns the sky pink, Paul's saying, you're seeing the beauty and the glory of God is being displayed through his handiwork, like an artist's skill when you look at his painting. If you think about the strength and the stability of the mountains, God is shouting at us through them and saying, here's a little picture of my unchanging steadfastness and power. If you think about just the mystery of life, that we are alive. God is the living God. And all these gifts are from him. So it's the whole world is a miracle. And the problem is, we're blind to it. We don't see that his glory is shining through it to us all the time. If I could picture it this way. Did you know that with our natural physical eyes, that we barely scratch the surface of how beautiful flowers are? Did you know that apparently most flowers give off on a vast spectrum of light, of ultraviolet light and everything, a range of amazing bright colours that other animals can see, and we just don't see it. We just tend to see like the one colour most of the time. And it's a bit like that, that this glory of God is in and shining through everything in creation, his wonderful power in making everything, and we're just not seeing it. This spiritual fog in our minds is blinding to it. So there's two terrible consequences. Two traits that you and I are all guilty of. Constantly. And they are a lack of thankfulness and a lack of trust. A lack of thankfulness, as Paul said in verse 21, the people did not thank him. If our eyes were just open for a minute to see all the goodness of God, everything he's giving to us constantly, that the air that we're breathing, the food that we're eating, the wonder of the human body, we should be thanking him constantly at all these marvels. And we just take it all for granted. We're so blind. And we don't trust him. We don't trust his wisdom and that he's going to provide for us. A God who knows every hair on our heads, and we just don't trust him. When life gets choppy, we instantly doubt him. So this is the first thing the Bible says. We're blind in this way to the goodness and glory of God in creation. But then the second major way the Bible says we're blind is we're really blind to our own sins, to our own sinfulness. You'll know the words of the Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye and look at the plank in your own eye? Hypocrite. And really, that's the point Paul's making here in Romans 2, that other passage you heard. He's really saying, who are you to judge anybody else when you do all these sinful things too? And yet, we just don't see it, do we? We don't see that about ourselves. We're so quick to spot other people's faults. We're so quick to cry foul when they do something wrong. And we are so slow to admit when we've done something wrong. Because, you know, we're so convinced we are in the right. We're so convinced we don't need to apologize. That other person's got it wrong. Let me tell you what you've done wrong here. We tut-tut when someone's been cheating in a relationship. But we excuse it when we look at pornography. We think poorly of someone who gossips. And then we go and speak about them gossiping. We look down our noses at somebody else's greed. But then we sit and we're watching the adverts on television and we're coveting bigger and bigger, better things for ourselves. We sniff at people who use bad language. But in our minds, we curse and run other people down. And we can spot hypocrisy in politicians so easily. Oh no, but we've never been hypocrites, have we? Now, what this terrible blindness does to us is it makes us put on a performance. It turns us into hypocrites. And so it becomes all about putting on a performance, acting a certain way, and who we really are on the inside is a secret. And you can do that as a Christian. You can put on a performance so that other Christians, you're fitting in, saying the right words, but inside, your heart's empty. And so there's a second thing it does to us. We're just blind to our own sins. You will not see the sins in your life. You will not be aware of them. And then the third, the most tragic way, the scripture says that we're all blind, is we're blind to the glory of Jesus our Saviour. We just don't see His incredible worth, the incredible beauty and power of Jesus Christ. We don't love Him and adore Him as He really deserves. We don't see that He really is the unique Saviour that we need. We're blind to the glory of God that shines from His face. He is the eternal Son of God. He's the radiancy, the fullness of God. That's one of the great themes of John's Gospel. How the Lord Jesus performs wonderful, wonderful acts of healing and miracles, and they show who He clearly is. And His enemies harden against Him. They cannot see who He really is. You could say, and I'll probably mispronounce this, it's like we suffer from a kind of spiritual prosopagnosia. Now, I came across this recently. Apparently, it's a rare medical condition where the sufferer cannot recognize human faces. Apparently, it's very rare. Only a few people suffer from it. There's a story on the BBC website about a lady called Evie Pritchard who suffers from it. She records how her friends that she went to school with for 20 years, you know, they walked backwards in front of her. And she had no idea who they were. Her own mother had a haircut and walked past her on the street. No idea. Horrifyingly, she went in a party up to an ex-boyfriend to talk to him. No idea that it was her ex-boyfriend. And so there's apparently this strange disease that people, something wrong with their brain, cannot recognize faces. Now that's what we seem to suffer from spiritually. Here is our great God and Creator. All His glory and love and wonder shines out to us in the face of Jesus Christ. And He's so clearly revealed to us. And we just don't see it. We just don't recognize Him. And truly, if someone's not a Christian, it's because of this spiritual blindness. There's this fog. They just don't see it. They don't see Him. They don't see this goodness of God. And this is our tragedy. How do you explain to a blind person something beautiful when they cannot see? How do we begin to explain to somebody the beauty and the glory of Jesus when we've seen Him as Christians, if they've never seen it? So let me ask you, let me draw that together to ask you the key question. What's at the heart of this spiritual blindness? Why are we so blind? What's the real cause of it? The real cause of our spiritual blindness is pride. It's pride. It's our sinful pride in ourselves that is blinding us to the glory of God. Our pride is like a dark room we've trapped ourselves in that shut out the light of God. You see, what's tricky for us to understand is that the scripture says this blindness is a kind of willful blindness. That passage in Romans 1 says that we suppress the truth about God. We suppress it. We deliberately choose to walk away from it and ignore it. That word suppress, picture like a jack-in-the-box that, you know, you constantly have to push it back down to keep it in. It's saying that's what we all do. The truth about God is so clear all around us. The problem is, it keeps bouncing out at us, and we, because we don't like it, keep pushing it back down. You see, we've got this willful blindness in our pride, because if everything is from God in all of creation, well, then it means we owe everything to God. Everything's thanks to Him. And in our pride, we don't want to admit that. We don't want to admit that we're accountable to such a glorious God. And we owe everything to Him. There's nothing we can boast of. Nothing we can say, I'm the best at. It's all a gift from Him. So in our pride, we don't want to see Him face up to that, and we turn away. Do you know, I'm learning that with little kids, they can suffer from willful blindness. When it's time to tidy up the toys, it's amazing how Wesley and Elizabeth cannot see them, you know, and we'll just walk past them. And that's what I'm saying. There's a willful blindness. There's a willful blindness. This truth of God's right in front of us. And we're willfully blind about our sin. Jesus said, men will not come to the light because they hate the light, because it would expose their deeds. You see, in pride, we don't want to face up to the fact that we are such sinful people, that we have done wrong. So we excuse it, and we don't want to admit it, and we want to point the finger at others. But it's our pride that's saying, oh, no, I'm not bad. It's all justified. And in our pride, we blind ourselves to Christ because we don't want to admit we need a Savior. We want someone who will help us. We want someone to help us get what we want. But to admit that we're utterly helpless in our sin and that we need a Savior who died for us and who rose for us and He's the only one and we're desperately lost without Him and it's all dependent on grace. Well, in pride, we don't want to admit that. And so we turn away and we blind ourselves. It's pride that's at the heart of being blind. But then that means the hope for all of us is in humility. Humility is the eye medicine that will start to help us see the truth more clearly. In Revelation chapter 3, the Lord Jesus says to a church that's become rather proud, He says, they need to come and buy eye, He says, I urge you to buy eye salve from me so you may see. And the good news is, with this blindness we all struggle with, Christ can give us the medicine. Christ can give us new eyes. He can put a new humility in our hearts that begins to challenge and overthrow this pride. And it may start small, and it's got to grow as you grow as a Christian, but He can put that humility within us. Again, it's part of this supernatural work of God that is salvation. This is no more than just a change of mind in an ordinary sense. This is God working in your heart and putting a humbling in there. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Lord says it in Matthew 11 as He prays. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, for it seemed good in your sight. He's saying, look, those who think they're wise, God hides the truth from them. He lets them stay in their darkness. But those will be like little children. Those who will come humbly seeking God in innocence. Humbly depending on God for everything, like a child depends on the parent. To them, God is pleased to reveal salvation. And will lead them on step by step into more and more light. To a true understanding. He says, you know, I haven't come for those who are healthy. I've come for those who are sick. Meaning those who think they're healthy. For those who are willing to humbly confess that they are sick in sin. He says, I'll heal. You see, humility is what's going to cleanse our eyes. In humility, we've got to remember that, knowledge itself is a gift from God. So, if any of us know anything about God at all, it's only because God has first gifted it to us. Because He graciously opens up our eyes and gives us light. Think of that story on the road to Emmaus. The two disciples walking with Jesus, blind to the fact it's Jesus. Until it says, He opened their eyes. If you know anything at all, it's because God's shown it to you. And God's given it to you as a gift. So let's humbly acknowledge. It's all down to Him. That should destroy your pride. If you're a Christian here today, it's only because God opened your eyes. God gave you grace and has shown you these wonderful things. And so remember humility before other people. So when you're trying to speak to somebody about the gospel this week, or whenever you have a disagreement with somebody, remember to be humble and gentle and patient. Don't be so proudly assured that you have it all right. Because sometimes as Christians, we're the most opinionated and arrogant people. Now perhaps you do see more of the truth. Perhaps that other person's not been given as much grace as you. Well, don't condemn them. Help them. Help them see more of the truth. They're just a little less blind. Sorry, a little more blind than you are. In the words of John Newton, remember that you are just one blind beggar who's been pulled out of a ditch. So don't look down on those still in the ditch. None of us have perfect yet 20/20 spiritual sight and understand everything perfectly. Remember the man Jesus heals of blindness in Mark 8? And he does a strange thing. He heals him in two stages. And at first, the man isn't fully healed. He sees men walking like trees. And then Jesus touches him again, and then he sees perfectly. Now, why did he do it that way? He was teaching the disciples, you know, you learn the truth gradually. You don't see it all at once. And we need his grace constantly teaching us, leading us on into more and more truth. So be humble before other people. And in humility, seek the truth. And understand it's more than just about studying books or thinking deeply. It is a moral matter. It's really about pride and humility. So being humble before God and living a godly life and depending on Him is the way to grow in really knowing the truth. But the good news is that Jesus is the one who opens our blind eyes. He comes to us, He takes away that hardness of heart, and He opens our eyes to the truth. He can give us that gift of the Holy Spirit. And then think about the great joy that comes when you begin to see. Think of blind Bartimaeus, who was lying on the roadside, and when Jesus passes by, he restores his sight. And then joyfully, he throws off everything else and runs to follow Jesus. Think of the great joy there is as you see more and more of the glory of God. And being a Christian is all about your eyes growing wider and wider so you take in more and more of the great beauty of God. And what begins to happen is you see in everyday, ordinary, simple things of life, God is there. You see His hand around you. You see His glory in creation. You develop a new joy in it that you never had before. You start to get a greater joy as you know Christ more and more. You get a joy in repentance as you start to change and you see your sins and you start to get rid of them. And so really what we're about is we're about trying to open people's eyes and say, here's this wonderful beauty all around. And may God give people grace that their eyes will be opened and they'll see this glory of God. So yes, we are blind because of our pride. And the cure is humility. And Jesus Christ can be at work in all our lives, opening our eyes and teaching us the truth if we'll humbly come to Him. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do confess with sadness just how blind we can be to all your goodness, all your gifts to us. Lord, we're blind to our own sin. And Lord, we've been blind to the great glory of Jesus. We have not loved him or served him as we should. But Lord, we thank you for the promise that you open the eyes of the blind, that you will give us the light to see the truth. Lord, please open our eyes this morning. Lord, expose our sins. Please open our eyes to see your glory around us. Lord, open our eyes to see our Saviour Jesus, that we might love him more and more. Lord, remove all our spiritual blindness. And we pray, Lord, for those we might meet this coming week. Lord, please open their eyes. Help us to be witnesses that point to your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.